Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From those to whom much is given, much is expected. I have been given much. The love of my family, the faith and trust of the people of New York, and the chance to lead the state. I am deeply sorry that I did not live up to what was expected of me.
Oh, Eliot Spitzer. That from Governor Spitzer's resignation speech 2 years ago this month, which brought David Paterson to office. So far this hour, we've heard from Manhattan Democratic leader Assemblyman Keith Wright and Republican gubernatorial hopeful Rick Lazio. Now Lloyd Constantine, a powerful New York attorney who is extremely close to Governor Spitzer, first as mentor, then confidant, then aide, not to mention tennis partner. Lloyd Constantine has written an extremely candid new book called Journal of the Plague Year, an insider's chronicle of Eliot Spitzer's short and tragic reign. Mr. Constantine is in India, from where he joins us by phone. And hi there, thanks so much for coming on WNYC.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
To give our listeners some context, what was your relationship to Eliot Spitzer from way back when you were a mentor and legal partner?
Well, he was an intern of mine in the Attorney General's office. We became friends. We became best friends, really. So he was probably my closest male friend. He became my law partner. When I formed a law firm, he and I both left big law firms to form a small antitrust boutique. And there were five of us to begin with, and he was one of them. He was a partner at the firm for 4 years, and then he ran for AG. When he was elected, I ran his transition in 1998. I went back to the law firm, and then I was co-chair of the transition when he was elected governor in 2006. But that time, rather than going back to the practice of law, I joined him as his senior policy advisor.
And you write in your book that you and he got off to a bad start right away with a very poor transition process to governor right from the start. What did you both do wrong?
It was a big transition, mostly for show. I mean, it's hard to think about this, but just a couple of years ago, Eliot was probably the top Democrat in the United States. He had been elected by around a 70% to 30% plurality. There was no Democratic president in the White House at the time, so he was the best game in the country for Democrats. And rather than utilize that opportunity to get the best and the brightest, we just didn't do that. We waited till the last minute. We hired mostly people from the Attorney General's office, old friends, sort of the usual suspects, rather than do a national search. And so we recruited a good staff, but it wasn't nearly the kind of staff that we might have been able to recruit had this been, had we taken the opportunity. There was really no drama about who was going to be governor in that year. So we could have begun this process probably in the summer, if not in the spring of 2006.
Do you think the fact that Spitzer ran almost uncontested contributed to the bad start? And is there a lesson there for Andrew Cuomo if he glides too easily to power?
No, I really don't think that's the case. I really don't. I think it was more that, and now in retrospect, that other things were going on in Eliot's life and in Eliot's mind, which really got him off of his game. I think that if it had not been that period of time, notwithstanding the huge lead he had, he would have acted a lot more carefully, prudently, and
basically,
the way he always had.
You think his sexual life distracted him from his professional standards?
I think that the torment that was going on in his mind caused him to be a very different person during that period of time. In the book, I associate that pretty much with 2006, 2007, and until the revelations in 2008. I had known the guy for over a quarter of a century, and he was just a very different person during that period of time than he had been ever before. He was ambivalent. He was erratic. He would lose his temper. He would back off. It just wasn't the same person.
Do you have any insight on how he could have gotten started down that track at the very same moment that He was ascending as perhaps the leading Democrat in the United States at that moment and rising to the governorship that he had long sought?
No, I don't have any insight into that. I don't.
You would think that it would be the moment of lowest temptation as these other positive things were going on for him.
But one would think, but I'm 62 years old and I've been around the pool a few times, and I do know that sex and sexual things don't really conform to rationality. It just doesn't compute that way.
Fair enough. How did David Patterson get selected for lieutenant governor? Were you in on that?
I was not in on that. I was not part of the campaign. I always stayed out of Elliott's campaigns. I wasn't part of the 94 campaign or the 98 campaign or the 2002 campaign. It's not my strength. I was in one campaign back in 1992, the Bob Abrams campaign. You actually had me on your TV show to do a surrogates debate with Michael Long at the time.
Right.
And I thought I was so not bad at that debate, but so bad in a political campaign that being a good friend of Elliott's, I decided to stay out of it.
How good a job did Andrew Cuomo do, in your opinion, investigating Spitzer's Troopergate and its target, Joe Bruno?
I thought that investigation was an abysmal investigation. It was all about things other than doing a fair, thorough, and complete investigation of Troopergate. At the core, I think the office there was concerned about other issues. One, there was a rush to judgment. They wanted to be first. There were three investigations going on at the same time, one by David Soares, the Albany DA, one by the Inspector General Chris Hammond, and one by Cuomo. So there was a rush to be first. So that was a problem. A lot of people who should have been put under oath were not put under oath. Cuomo's office claimed that they had no jurisdiction and no ability to force that. As I say in the book, that was disingenuous in the extreme. There were investigative powers which could have been utilized. They hadn't been in such a hurry. Also, they shied away from one of the core issues in that investigation, which was the abuse of state resources. There were two parts of that investigation. What Joe Bruno had done in terms of using state planes for private purposes, and the other part, what had been done by people in the governor's office to out Joe Bruno. The first part was simply glossed over. Joe Bruno wasn't questioned. No documents were collected. There was no email collected. They completely whitewashed that. And one of the reasons I believe that was done is because both Andrew Cuomo and Mario Cuomo had a history in what had been called Air Cuomo, and that would have resurrected the whole sordid history of Air Cuomo. I think in the first 7 years of the Mario Cuomo administration, members of the Cuomo family had ridden on the state plane 762 times. After Mario Cuomo ceased being governor, he reimbursed the state for some of those flights. There had also been allegations that Andrew had abused his federal flight privileges when he was HUD secretary. So that part of the investigation was simply completely glossed over. So there was, it was not a well-done investigation.
So how much faith do you have in the Cuomo investigation of David Patterson?
Look, I go in great detail as to why the Cuomo Troopergate investigation was badly flawed, as well as many of the other investigations that were done of that incident. By and large, I think that Andrew Cuomo has been a pretty good attorney general, but this was really a terribly done investigation. If this investigation now conforms to that previous investigation, it will be slanted in a way to help Andrew Cuomo in terms of his own political ambitions, because I think that's what was going on in Troopergate.
Well, since you believe,
but by and large, he's run a good AG's office.
Since you believe that Cuomo was willing to do that to his own advantage in the Troopergate investigation, should he recuse himself from the Patterson investigation because he's a presumed candidate for governor?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think that, as I say, I think by and large, the administration's been pretty good. It's been run professionally. I hope that they take a look at what I said in my book about the way they conducted that investigation. And frankly, the Public Integrity Commission did not do a good job. David Soares' office in Albany did an atrocious job.
The Albany DA.
The Albany DA. So I would hope that they would, you know, learn from their mistakes and do this one on the up and up. Look, David Paterson is not going to be a candidate for governor next time. And so that should, you know, he's not a political enemy in the sense that Elliot Spitzer clearly was a political enemy of Andrew Cuomo.
Lloyd Constantine, former aide, confidant, mentor to Elliot Spitzer. His new book is called Journal of the Plague Year, an insider's chronicle of Elliot Spitzer's short and tragic reign. The state police are once again in the crosshairs after the Troopergate scandal during the Spitzer administration, after another one in the Pataki administration. And in your experience in life, you wrote about or you've talked about growing up very close to the state police. Do you think we've entered a culture of corruption or a culture of politicization of the state police?
Well, certainly in the Troopergate situation, the head of the state police at the time, Preston Felton, allowed himself to be doing things that shouldn't have been done. I don't believe any of it really was illegal, but it certainly was unfortunate and it was bad conduct. The state police that surrounded Elliot during his time as governor were an extraordinarily good bunch of men and women. I spent time with them. I think they were honest. I think they were diligent. I think they were dedicated. So in terms of the executive core there, I thought they were extraordinary people. And one of the most, you know, poignant moments that I witnessed at the very end was Elliot apologizing to those people because I felt he felt that he had let them down.
So you think it was Spitzer? Let me, because I want to play a clip here of Andrew Cuomo talking to WNYC News about the report that he did on the state police after Troopergate, that, you know, in which he found some underlying issues, and the media didn't do very much with it. Listen to Cuomo.
I wouldn't say all the media missed it. Some actually got it, and ultimately I think it was a powerful report that made important findings, and I'm glad that we did it, and I'm glad that the people actually got a chance to see it.
So, Lloyd Constantine, my question for you is, do you think that the problems with politicization of the state police have just been problems of the governors and the way they've used them, or is there something underlying that has to do with the institution itself?
I think it's probably both. I think that, you know, that when a problem occurs and recurs frequently, there's probably a structural problem. What I do know from my years watching the state police is that by and large they are an elite group of people. They're there for the right reasons. They're dedicated. They're really highly skilled. There obviously is some kind of a structural problem there which should be addressed. I'm not an expert in that, and I wouldn't really like to opine on that.
I don't
really go into that
in the book. You do write about the night before Governor Spitzer resigned when he called to inform you of his use of prostitutes as and his intention to step down, and you write that you and the governor's wife urged him not to resign. What scenario did you see for him holding on to office after that and regaining an ability to govern?
Well, you know, we'd all been through a number of scandals, sex scandals, scandals that I thought, you know, sort of stepping back for a second, which was my role as the old guy. Bill Clinton had been through a number of scandals, Ted Kennedy, et cetera, et cetera. And frankly, I thought that if we could just buy some time, get him out of the state, get him into a facility where he could get some help, that in a relatively short period of time, the public mood, which was pretty much a lynch mob atmosphere during those first few days, would cool. He'd be out of town. People don't like to kick a guy when he's down. They don't like to kick a guy when he's trying to seek help, when he's contrite. So I thought if he removed himself from the state for around a month, went to a facility where he could get some treatment, that tempers would cool, and then there would be a more rational debate as to and a more rational consideration of what the alternative was.
Do you see a similar moment right now with a lynch mob mentality against David Patterson?
I do not. I think that David came in with problems and has consistently had problems. He wasn't elected, certainly wasn't elected by this unprecedented landslide that Elliott was. I think that David's calculation should simply be, what does less harm to the state? There's nothing good that's going to come out of this. So I think his calculation would be, he's not going to be the governor next year. So he has to say, how do I hurt the state less, by staying on or by forcing the state through another wrenching transition with only 10 months left? And I think he needs to search his soul. David's is a nice guy, and he's a good guy. And at this point, there's no possibility that he's going to be governor next year. So that's his calculation. Elliott's calculation was very different. It was what comes after me. That's not David's calculation.
Do you know if Spitzer's body detail, state police body detail, was aware of his activities with the prostitutes?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I do know that after Governor Pataki, Elliott and Silda were not comfortable with the degree of protection that Pataki had. I think they felt it was an encroachment on their privacy. I remember walking around with both of them at various times, and the omnipresence of all of that police was annoying to them. So I really don't know. I'll tell you something. None of us knew, and all of us spent an awful lot of time with Elliott. Mm. So
30 seconds left.
I don't know.
In your opinion as a lawyer, is Patterson right that he cannot speak publicly about the charges against him because there's an ongoing investigation?
No. I don't think so. I think he owes it to the public. He's the governor of New York, and he can speak to those issues.
We have 20 seconds left. Why'd you write a book? Given your closeness to Governor Spitzer, you reveal a lot about him in this book that maybe you didn't want out. Why'd you do it?
Two reasons. One, I wanted to figure out what had happened. I knew the facts, but I don't think I knew the truth. And two, I thought the public deserved to know what hit them, really. And most of the book is policy-oriented. So I think people are still scratching their head, and I think after they read my book, they won't be scratching their head quite as much.
Lloyd Constantine has written Journal of the Plague Year. Thank you so much for coming on with us.
Thank you, Brian.